Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this lecture we will talk about Sri Aurobindo. Now Sri Aurobindo is famous as a freedom fighter. We all know about him. But even in the field of literature, he has contributed a lot. And especially if you examine his literary output, it is voluminous. He has written philosophical treatises or speculations, treatises on yoga, integral yoga, then poetry, plays are there. So all kinds of writing is there. Now the dates of Sri Aurobindo are from 1872 to 1950. So Sri Aurobindo, along with being a freedom fighter or a nationalist, he was a philosopher, a poet, a seer, a yogi, and he propounded a philosophy of divine life on earth through spiritual evolution. Now Sri Aurobindo began his schooling in Darjeeling in a Christian convent school. Later on he was sent to the University of Cambridge to acquire education, and after returning back he held various administrative and professional posts in Vadodara in Gujarat, and later on also in Kolkata. And thereafter he began the serious study of yoga and Indian languages, including classical Sanskrit. And for some time, if you read history books, he also participated in the Indian freedom struggle. But as a result of his political activities, he was given imprisonment by the British colonial powers at that time. And afterwards he fled to Pondicherry, and Pondicherry at that time was a French colony, and the rest of his life he spent there. Now coming to the literary output of Sri Aurobindo. Now there is a very famous work by him, a prose work by him called The Life Divine. Okay, The Life Divine, which was published in 1939. Now what is The Life Divine about? See, he rejected the traditional Indian approach of striving for moksha, which is just liberation from the cycle of death and rebirth, as a means of reaching happier transcendental planes of existence. He rejected this approach, and Aurobindo held that terrestrial life itself in its higher evolutionary stages is the real goal of creation. And the life divine is the principal statement of his philosophy of realistic monism. Okay, monism. M-O-N-I-S-M. Monism. And to be more precise, Aurobindo rejected Shankaracharya's notion that the world is an illusion or maya. And according to him, it is rather the manifestation of the real and therefore is itself real. Okay. Now, after that, the next important work of Sri Aurobindo is The Synthesis of Yoga. Okay, The Synthesis of Yoga. And the epigraph of this work is All Life is Yoga. Okay, All Life is Yoga. Remember this. Now, after that, the next work is The Human Cycle. Okay, The Human Cycle. And in The Human Cycle, which was published in 1949, Aurobindo traces the evolution of human cultures from the symbolic stage to the age of rationalism and individualism. And moreover, he examines the evolution of political aggregates, noting the trend to ever larger units, which will lead in the end to some kind of political unification of the human race. And he insists on the need to preserve diversity and avoid uniformity, even while overcoming the divisions that continue to plague humanity. And Sri Aurobindo's most sustained attempt to recapture the spirit of classical meters in English is the work called Ilion. Okay, Ilion. Now, Homer wrote Iliad. Aurobindo wrote Ilion. Now, Ilion is a kind of incomplete epic in dactylic hexameters, telling about the story of the fall of Troy. But later on, in 1916, as I said, this is an incomplete epic. So, for some time, Aurobindo wrote this epic, but he couldn't complete it. He abandoned this midway. And after abandoning Ilion, he started his very famous work called Savitri. Okay, Savitri. He began this in 1950 to 51. और इसमें होता क्या है, नो, इट्स जस्ट टेकन फ्रॉम द फेमस एपिसोड ऑफ द महाभारत. सो व्हाट हैपेंस इन दिस, लेट्स से व्हाट इज द स्टोरी लाइन, इज द गॉडेस डिसेंड्स एज द वुमन सावित्री, हु लिव्स हर प्री डेस्टिंड ईयर ऑफ द हैप्पीनेस विद हर हस्बैंड कॉल्ड सत्यवान. एंड व्हेन ही डाइज, व्हेन सत्यवान डाइज, सावित्री फॉलोज हिज सोल इन टू द इनर वर्ल्ड एंड एंगेजेस डेथ इन एपिक बैटल. But in the end, Savitri's passion proves stronger and death is defeated. And later on, it is also revealed as a mask of the Godhead who tempts Savitri with solitary bliss. And she ultimately refuses, demanding instead boons for earth and men. And then Savitri and Satyavan, a dual power of God in an ignorant world, this is how they are described, they return to earth and then they live a, let's say, a happy life. Okay, so these couple of works you should remember. One is Savitri. Usse pehle maine kya kaha tha? Ilion. Before that, I had spoken about The Human Cycle. Okay, The Human Cycle, which came out in 1949. Before that, I had spoken about The Synthesis of Yoga. Okay, The Synthesis of Yoga, which came out in 1955. And before that, the first thing that I spoke about is The Life Divine. Okay, The Life Divine, which was published in 1939. And one more thing you should keep in mind is that the complete title of Savitri is Savitri, A Legend and a Symbol. Okay, Savitri, A Legend and a Symbol. And this was published in 1950. And along with all of this, Aurobindo has also written a volume of essays, okay, titled Essays on the Gita. Okay, Essays on the Gita. Ye title hi hai. And this was published in 1922. So, from an exam point of view, remember the names of these important works. Though Sri Aurobindo has written many other works as well, but I have pointed out the most important ones. And along with this, you should try to remember some facts from the life of Sri Aurobindo as well. Because from an exam point of view, that sometimes is also relevant. What they do in the exam is, they might give you a small extract, and in that extract, they will give few lines about his life. Then they will also mention some things about his works. So after that, the question will be, whose life or whose works is this extract about? And then they will give you four options. So from that point of view, you should keep in mind some of the important aspects of somebody's biography or life in addition to the literary works which that person might have written. Okay?